I Once Was by Assassinate the Following. Not only is that a legit song, but there's a legit interview with Assassinate the Following. Coming up super soon. And you guys will love it because I love it. And I apologize in advance since the quality of the recording is not that great. And I really do need to invest in a personal recorder. My computer's not doing the trick lately. It's kind of sad. Here is the interview with Assassinate the Following, an amazing Canadian band. Yeah, that's right, we're repping the Canadian, from Windsor, Ontario. And here's the interview. Hope you enjoy it. And at the end of the interview, there'll be more songs. And yes, that's about it. So we're chilling in a coffee shop, and I'm not alone. I'm with Assassinate the Following, and I'm being awkward on air.
Definitely.
It's not really on air.
All alone,
by myself. No one's sitting here talking by myself. Can you guys, like, introduce yourselves, please?
How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? I am Brandon White.
I'm Josh White.
I'm Drew.
I'm Caitlin Weedle here, if you hear my voice. She was on my show earlier this week.
Everybody say hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hey. Caitlin.
So, first question we're going to ask you guys is, how did you get connected to metal? Like, what made you get into it? And was there a specific experience, or was it just kind of gradual?
Well, like, I know I always grew up listening to, like, Ted Nugent and AC/DC. So, like, I was always in, like, Iron Maiden and, like, with our old band that we had, like, we'd do Iron Maiden and Metallica covers and stuff. And when that band broke up, myself and Drew started getting just more into, like, heavy, more aggressive
more,
stuff.
More technical stuff,
okay.
Like,
yeah.
Harder to play, harder to comprehend.
Yeah, our minds started expanding. We just wanted to challenge ourselves, so we went with the harder type of music to play.
So we're like, yeah, we should learn some Symphony X.
Yeah.
And we failed a little bit.
A lot of biscuits.
Awesome. All right, so major influences.
You go
personally,
first,
I would say Black Sabbath. Just Black Sabbath, grew up listening to them, and Geezer Butler was a ridiculous bass player.
And Drew, go ahead.
Between the Buried and Me, absolutely. They pushed the next frontier for myself.
Pushed the envelope.
Oh, yeah, like... Definitely favorite band.
Yeah, I'd definitely say I'd agree with Drew between The Buried and Me, and secondly, I'd probably have to say Protest the Hero.
Protest the Hero?
Yeah.
Love Protest.
I'm
stuck here remembering my question. Alright. So far, with being in Assassinate the Following, what has been, like, your biggest success, and what has been your biggest failure as a band?
Biggest success, I would probably say, I know for me personally, is doing the tour with Protest the Hero in December.
Okay. Absolutely, that was a dream come true.
Yeah, not even just the tour itself, it's playing other shows with larger bands, just to be exposed a lot more.
Getting the experience.
Yeah.
Biggest fail.
Playing with a band in all shifts.
Sorry. No, we didn't say that, everybody. We did not
say that. I said
that.
I'm allowed to hate.
I am everything on Katrina. I don't know. I don't know what
Institutes
our biggest fail as.
Hitting a dog on the highway?
Actually,
well, we didn't hit that. That was
you,
so
you really want to know?
We hit a bear once. Well,
that
her dad
ran into us. It wasn't like...
I was going to say,
it was like
bear
mutual.
Hit you,
bear. Yeah, we like hit each other.
That's
so
incredible. That's crazy.
So biggest fail?
As far as biggest fail, I have no idea what I would choose.
Shit. I would say...
Choosing Russell as a drummer?
No, I would say playing the Circus Room too.
Yes!
What is the
Circus Room in Kitchener, the worst venue we have ever played in to date. The very first time we were supposed to play there, we ended up leaving. We were playing with Today I Caught the Plague.
Okay.
And the thing that killed it for us, the last thing, was Drew
first
went
thing,
to,
first thing.
First thing, there was
I
a drug
I walked
across
okay.
the street.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
And we turned the corner and there was broken doors, broken windows, two paddy wagons, three unmarked cop cars taking like four people out of this house.
It's like, oh, by the way, this is a crackhead area. Great.
Yeah.
I've never had a good experience in Kitchener because every time
then,
we go, it's just shit.
And then right after that, I walked into the bar and I asked the bartender, can you point me in the direction of your bathroom?
Follow the smell.
She's just like, oh, go downstairs and follow the smell, you'll find it. I'm like, great, thank you.
Huh.
Thanks for your awesome.
So, needless to say, he didn't use the bathroom.
Oh, I used that bathroom.
Ew. You're at the band.
I use that bathroom.
Yeah, so we just left. We didn't tell anybody we weren't playing. We just left. Yeah.
All right. Okay, going back to, like, memories or whatnot. Best concert you guys went to growing up?
Ooh. Best concert or first concert?
Fest.
Fest.
Obviously.
First, yeah. My first is Killers. That doesn't count. So, if we go to first first, I went to the, like, Shania Twain.
His first would be the bad guy.
It was.
My first was Arena. My first concert was Foreigner.
Okay.
Best one, though? I don't know. That's a fucking hard question.
I would have to say Queen, because when I was younger, I really had a good time at, like, the band's Warped Tour. Like, we're right across from Detroit.
Warped Tour Fanatics.
So, like, my best concert would probably be my first time that I ever saw Protest the Hero at Warped Tour. Yep. NoFX was playing. We went together.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was great. A lot of good bands that year, like Under Oath, Protest.
Human Abstract. Every
That's
Time
great.
I Die.
Oh, Protest is, like, one of the bands that actually got me into, like, heavier music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, my best show was Summer Slaughter Tour 2 years ago.
Did you go this year?
No. I was too poor.
Too poo.
Too poo.
You're a piece of shit.
Two out of three.
I'm taking my van and going home.
I so wanted to go to Summer Slaughter this year. I'm sad I didn't go. Decapitated. Alright, as a band, what is your definition of success?
Working together. As gay as that may
friendship
sound.
Friendship and teamwork is love.
You're
all wrapped together with flowers.
Quack.
The whole thing behind success for me personally would be just, like, talking with each other, communicating, and working together on everything and making sure everybody's on the same page.
Yeah, if we didn't have communication, we'd fall apart.
Yeah, that's the one big thing. Like, in any of our friends' bands that have broken up, it's always been, like, a lack of communication problem where not everybody's on the same page, and somebody disagrees with something, and then they go behind that person's back and just everything. They don't find the happy medium.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing.
When a deal comes up, like, if we're having, like, problems, like, within, like, our bandmates or whatever, right away we'll nip it in the bud and, like,
just get
make
it.
Sure there's no more problems. You've never heard that term before? Nip it in the bud?
True, like,
not out of you.
It's a flowering term.
More like tea flowering.
Oh, I had a good question. It disappeared. Someone said something.
Gone, abyss.
Success, communication, happy medium.
So, like, would you guys say, like, the biggest mistake a band could make is a lack of communication?
Yes, for sure. With everything. Like, even with personal lives, you have to talk to everybody in the band about everything. I've always said this to everybody that I talk to music about. Being in a band is just like being in a relationship with a girl. Or, like, a guy.
Or a couple girls.
Listening. You literally have to tell everybody everything that's going on, and everybody has to know everything. And if somebody misses out on... Shut up, Josh. If someone misses something, then everybody starts bickering and arguing, and then if the band breaks up, it's all bitter and everybody hates each other.
That's very true.
You basically have to treat it like a relationship with someone.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so if you guys weren't in Assassinate the Following, what would you be doing?
Not being poor. I'd probably be in another band that's very similar to Assassinate the Following.
I'd probably just be working full time.
Yeah. I would not be able to live not being in a band and playing music.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I would definitely be in university.
It's not that much fun, you're not missing it.
I was there, and I took time off to do the band.
Question document, so it's not a piece of paper. Okay. If you guys could set up your dream tour, any bands you want to play with,
uh-oh,
max 5, you have to collaborate on this.
Meshuggah, BT Bam.
Okay, whoa. Now you're picking. Don't be picky.
Meshuggah,
BT Bam.
Yeah.
Wait, BT Bam.
Oh,
okay.
Jeez.
I don't know short forms. Everyone tells me
you
short forms.
We've got an amateur on our hands.
You pick two. I'll pick the last one.
Every Time I Die. Enter Shikari.
Yes.
And one more, eh?
It's all on you. All the pressure's on your shoulders.
I'd say Faceless.
All right.
Thanks,
Sugar, Between the Buried and Me, Every Time I Die, Enter Shikari, and The Faceless.
Sounds pretty sick.
Very diverse, but very fucking awesome.
And then we have H.K. Kemp's Yoko.
Yep. Straight up.
Oh, I forgot, like, my first question. I usually ask fans, like, favorite thing about Montreal, favorite thing about Canada. You guys are Canadians, so we're just going to stick with Montreal.
Everything.
Yeah.
Favorite thing about Montreal? Women.
There's no disappointment there whatsoever.
Not at all. I love everything about the city except the fact that it's so expensive. to park and everything.
See, do I have any more? Ooh, yes, we do. CDN Records.
Yep.
When did you guys get signed?
Right before we released Massacre of the North, our album now, which was just over a year ago.
Last June.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel as if being signed to a label changed the path your band was going?
It's not so much a label.
They helped us out a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yes. He's more of a distributor than a label. He has helped us out a lot, though.
I trust that him with absolutely everything with this band. He has helped us out more than we could have ever asked for.
Yeah, whether it comes to interviews, articles, merchandise, getting hooked up with certain people, it's been a huge help.
He's always busting his ass to help us out, and it's more than appreciated.
He should ask if you're in trouble.
But yeah, because of him, he got our record into this company called Fontana North.
Fontana North.
Yeah.
And it's now in every HMV Future Shop and Best Buy across Canada.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And he's got it like overseas for us now.
Okay, wait, what is it called?
Fontana North Distribution.
Yeah.
I'm gonna check it out. Never heard of it. They're right down. Why not? No,
so
I can't write on that. That's
the album is available, like you said,
everywhere.
Best Buy, HMV,
listeners,
across
Canada. There you go.
YouTube it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all there. You can find it on YouTube, find everything
or
on iTunes, Rhapsody.
The best way to get CDs
is
go to the shows and
yeah,
buy the
or just come to shows and buy them and hang out.
Don't tell them the torrent down.
How do you guys feel about downloads?
I think it's great.
Yeah.
Would you ever release, like, a free album?
Just look online. There's already a free album.
That's true. But, like, would you ever make it, like, exclusively online?
I don't know about that.
I would for, like, a promotion.
I would do a couple of songs for sure.
Yeah.
A couple of songs, yes. Not a full album.
I don't know. It's a great way to push and get your name out there and get well known. And, like, eventually when you get to the status where you're making, like, enough money to live off of it, I personally wouldn't give a damn if people were downloading, because I'm obviously making enough money where I can live. So if the occasional kid's going to go and download it, then...
When we get to that period of time, then we'll stop.
It'll happen. Think big.
Yeah, because, like, I download a lot of stuff, but if I really like the band, I'll go and buy their CD.
Yeah.
Or if I'm at a show and, like, they're really cool guys and they're good on stage, I'll buy their CD.
No, I pretty much only buy CDs at shows just because, like, I know 100% there's not, like, all the retail extra costs.
Yeah,
like,
go through 10
you don't only get, like, $1
yeah.
per CD. Like, the bands get the full thing, so full minus production costs, but... Yeah, I think that's it. So, Caitlin, you have no questions?
No.
You suck. All right, that is the end of the interview. Thank you, guys.
Take care. Thank you very much.
Any last words? Any shout-outs? Oh, what are you guys listening to now? Shout-outs.
Listening to now?
Yeah, like new music that you found that you're, like, stoked on.
Circa Survive.
That's not that. That's okay.
I've been listening to a lot of Dr. Dre. Not so new.
Yeah, he's been rapping, like, freestyling. We're walking down the street. It's the funniest thing in the world.
Do some right now. Go. On the spot.
No.
Can't do it.
Spill a bit. I don't know. I'm so stuck on new Eminem CD. It's actually really good.
The Sweet Taste of Nothing by Believe It or Not, Assassinate the Following. I know it's pretty crazy that I'm playing a song by the band I just interviewed. Anyways, that's not the point. What the point is the three songs that I have, well, the two that I've already played and the one that I'm going to be playing are my three favorite songs off of Assassinate the Following's record, Massacre of the North. If you like what you hear, check them out on myspace.com/assassinatethefollowing. And also, if you superly like what you hear, yeah, because superly, legit word to use, buy their albums, go to their shows, and support them because they deserve your support. They're amazing, put on amazing shows, and all that good stuff. So yeah, the last song I'm going to be playing for you guys is Just Another Day by Assassinate the Following. Just a-